Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for email, especially work-related email. As it has recently come to light, that one of the most stressful aspects of any job held by Generation Z employees is the terrifying task of replying to emails. Language learning platform Babbel surveyed 2,000 U.S. office workers and discovered that 36% of Gen Z professionals have more than 1,000 unread work emails in their inbox, compared to just 18% of office workers overall. The youngest respondent said that the anxiety experienced from feeling pressured to open emails, read emails, and especially respond to emails is so crippling that they compare it to being hunted down for sport. As one sufferer explained, "Email anxiety is so real. The hardest part of my job is writing emails. It will take me 30 minutes to draft and send a 3-sentence email. I can't live like this." Part of the anxiety comes from the felt need to execute grammatically correct English sentences in a formal communication context, as opposed to the informal, emoji and acronym-filled environments more familiar to Gen Zs, such as texts, chats, and slipping into someone's DMs. Dear Otherin, how long will we continue to inflict this suffering upon our poor young people? It is time we begin to study this terrible email aversion disorder in more depth, to understand all the ways it adversely affects the quality of life of our young employees. There must be pharmaceutical solutions for alleviating the post-traumatic email syndrome they appear to be suffering. Perhaps there are specific therapies for sub-maladies such as sender's remorse, a debilitating malaise that affects as many as 20% of all Gen Zs who report very often regretting the emails they send. Similarly, if we can't find a way to stop marginalizing these victims of linguistic formality dysgraphia, and figure out ways to accommodate them, counsel them, and probably compensate them for their suffering, I worry more and more of our young workers will simply say things like, "I just checked my email, now I'm going home sick." One additional note. Some of the more callous and bigoted among the older generations have already indicated disbelief and even skepticism about the legitimacy of PTES, but this is normal for the oppressors who perpetuate the patriarchy and constantly seek to other those who do not fit within their narrow definition of normal. For shame, elder normies, for shame. So down with email, up with the frail and feeble Gen Z computing class, and let us march boldly forward together into the noble promised land of the email-free zone beyond the horizon. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, our deepest condolences for Pennsylvania resident Joey Henney. That's spelled J-O-I-E if you're keeping notes in the pew this morning. A terrible tragedy has befallen Joey, who recently took his 8-year-old emotional support alligator with him on a trip to visit a friend in Brunswick, Georgia. Joey put the dear companion, named Wally, in an enclosed yard, only to later discover the cuddly certified affection reptile missing. Apparently, the target of a trapper who captured him and released him into the wild, or at least that's what we hope he did. While the search for Wally continues, the chances of finding him again are growing as slim by the moment as a gator skin belt. Now, of course, we know that some people might hear this story and think it must be a joke, that an alligator could be an actual licensed emotional support reptile. But I assure you, not only is it real, it's so beautiful, because it reminds us of certain fundamental truths. The bond between Joey and Wally shows us that just as you cannot control whom you love, you cannot control from whom you get emotional stability. And no matter how unusual the relationship might seem to others, each of us must find companionship and comfort in our own unique way. Nevertheless, these scaly naysayers, whose compassion is apparently as tough as a custom cowboy boot, have no room in their cold-blooded hearts for such a relationship. But we optimistically look to the future, where an even more inclusive society will recognize the far wider array of creatures who might potentially bring us much-needed comfort in these stressful times. One day, perhaps, we will meet Zingy, the emotional support scorpion, or Stingy, the emotional support wasp, or Hester, the emotional support cobra, or Elmer, the emotional support brown recluse spider, or Fluffles, the emotional support pufferfish, or Pedro, the emotional support Portuguese man of war, or even Phil, the emotional support porcupine. You never know. And maybe, just maybe, one day, we can become enlightened enough that when little Edna comes on the airplane with her colony of emotional support fire ants, we can all feel a little better about humanity for the relaxation on her face as she lets them crawl around on her arm after the fasten your seatbelt sign is turned off. What a wonderful world that would be. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a loud blow on the vuvuzela of encouragement for our dear leader, President Biden, whose administration issued new guidance reminding employers that misgendering employees or denying them access to gender-affirming bathroom facilities would constitute workplace harassment under federal anti-discrimination law. Yes, the fine thought leaders at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission Monday released their first update in 25 years to workforce protections that prevent harassment of employees on the basis of protected characteristics such as race, religion, disability, age, national origin, and sex, which of course now includes pregnancy, sexual orientation, and gender identity. As the document explains, quote, repeated and intentional use of a name or pronoun inconsistent with the individual's known gender identity is a form of harassing conduct. This can include asking inappropriate questions about a worker's anatomy, haven't we all? Or sexual relationships, or deliberately engaging in pronoun violence by the use of incorrect labels. Incorrect, of course, as decided by the employee's sense of identity, not by the employee's body. Now, sadly, some believers in the immutable birth gender heresy and other gender blasphemies will say that forcing people to change their speech so as to not offend transgender co-workers is a First Amendment violation. To these apostates, we say, of course it is. But what could be more necessary than a recognition that there are limits to free speech? No one is allowed to shout fire in a crowded theater or make jokes about explosives while waiting in line at the airport, and just as true is the fact that no person should be allowed to yell he in a room full of thems, or to make jokes about she's in a theater full of zers, especially if the show is a musical. Besides, as we've explained over and over again, there's no downside to requiring people to say the right, kind, and affirming words because coercing them to speak lovingly is just another mechanism of teaching them that obedience to authority is far more important than individual dissent and thinking for yourself. Duh. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please take a minute to encourage our dear other in Sam Billitson, who is feeling especially inadequate this week as they watch the brave campus protesters around the nation doing their part to fight the power through makeshift tent cities, random vandalism, and public urination. Sam has not been able to afford to travel to any of the colleges to join in the celebration, and they feel very, very guilty for not being present in person to validate the events on social media. Palestinian protest solidarity FOMO is a powerful and virtuous thing, my friends. Refreshments this week are provided by Dirtritos, the delightfully dusty tortilla chip made exclusively from the nutritional soils of the lower Mississippi River Delta. Specially shaped, seasoned, and baked for your tooth-chipping enjoyment, and now available in nacho cheese, cool ranch, and original Mississippi mud pie flavor. Whichever variety you choose will help scrub those pearly whites, bring much-needed earthy fiber to your lower intestines, and really clean you out good. As they say at Dirtritos, just pop one in your mouth, then grit and bear it. Dirtritos, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.